See all these pages? It'll be about 3 o'clock this afternoon. Look at your book of John 18:38. Actually, my notes are actually the scriptures that I'm going to use printed out on my computer in big print. Not that I'm getting old. John 18:38. Pilate said unto him, "What is truth? What is truth?" Let's pray. Lord, we come before you today because you've given us a command to go and preach the gospel in all the world. And Lord, we ask you to bless it. We know there's no soul in here that can be saved except your Holy Spirit convict them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And Lord, so we ask that your Holy Spirit would take the Word of God and convict lost souls. We pray, Lord, for every child of God in the room, all of us that are saved. We know we fail you every day some way. But, oh God, make us better students of the Word. Make us more sincere in our desire for truth. God, give us strength that we might make the right decisions and live a life that brings honor to your name. And Father, I ask you for the freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And then I commit this service into your hands. Help me and help us all. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Pilate made a statement. What is truth? What is truth? People are still asking that statement all the time. I've got a lot of college hours. I've listened to a lot of PhDs and THDs. And because that means piled higher and deeper. High school, you get this broad education. Okay, go to college. Boy, they'll narrow it down a little bit for you. Give you a topic or some subject. Go for a master's, you get a little part of that subject, and you study on that. And go to be a PhD, they give you one battle in the Civil War, and that's what you get your whole thing on. So you know more and more about less and less, until you know almost everything about nothing. I love education. Don't get me wrong. I think you ought to get all you can get. But I think you ought to be a little bit wary of what this world teaches you. Because it's not going to teach you the truth. Here's Pilate, a corrupt politician who's willing to sacrifice an innocent man just to please some of his constituents. And he thinks he's being smart when he's talking to Jesus Christ. He had the truth standing in front of him. And he flippantly says, "What is truth? What is truth?" Well, there are a lot of different truths. There are some mathematical truths, and there are some chemical truths, and there are some different kinds of truths about animals, about things, about the universe, and whatever. Now, how do you get to truth? You need truth. Yeah. Do you know what one of your biggest needs is? To have a truth that you could be confident in. The trouble with an awful lot of Christians today is they've been fed so many versions of the Bible, they don't know which one to believe. And trying to believe them all has left them so confused they don't have very strong faith. And it's eating the church's power out. It's eating the church's heart out. That's why here we don't say you can't read anything else. We just say the only Bible we use as an authority and the only one we won't preach from publicly is the King James Version of the Bible. It's one for all of us. You may not believe about it like I believe about it. I believe it is the preserved Word of God in English. I don't go preach the King James to people in Mexico. I wouldn't go to India and preach the King James to people in India. But bless your heart, I'm in good old America, and we've had the greatest revivals in the history of the world from this book I have and I'm preaching from. Amen. Tremendous results. What is truth? Can you find truth? Now, there's some people out there that don't believe you can find truth. They've come to the place almost like Pilate when he says, "What is truth?" He's saying, nobody can find the truth. I don't know the truth of this situation. I imagine if you were a judge, you would be fighting with this very difficult decision. What is truth? And sometimes you're making mistakes. How in the world can you possibly find a truth so valuable that you could live by it? Can you find a truth that's good enough that you'd bet your life on it? I wouldn't bet my life on a horse race. Yes. I wouldn't bet my life on my strength. I hear people say all the time, "I'm going to be around for you." Well, maybe. They got this one lady in one advertisement. She's a fat lady, and she's getting this thing I ought to have, one of those things that cuts your stomach down. And she says, "Now I'm going to be around to see my grandchildren." I said, "Maybe. You might get down and just weigh 78 pounds and you might not make it."
Yeah, that's right.
You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And I don't either. And the truth of the situation is scary. What is truth? They're college professors that'll just do their best to knock everything out of every student they've got. Don't trust anything your parents said. Don't trust anything the church said. Don't trust anything the Bible said. Don't trust anything the government says. And some of that's pretty smart. Really is. How do you find truth? Can you find truth anywhere? Is there any way or method you could ever get confident that you had the truth on any given subject? Well, I believe there is. Look at Proverbs 23:23. It's one of my favorite verses, and I bring it up all the time, and I talk to people about it over and over and over again. It's very easy to find Proverbs 23:23. See, it's simple. Buy the truth and sell it not. He says, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. What does buy mean? Means pay a price.
Right.
Buy the truth. Pay a price for truth. You know the problem with most of us? We don't want to pay the price for truth.
Amen.
Sometimes truth just costs too much.
Yeah.
Costs too much effort, too much work, too much pain, too much prayer,
right,
too much study.
Mm-hmm.
But Solomon looks around and said, "You buy the truth. Pay whatever price you got to pay for it."
That's right.
The truth? How valuable is the truth? How valuable is the truth about your brakes on your car?
Yeah.
How valuable is the truth about whether you have a safe gas unit in your house?
Right.
Well, it's life.
That's right.
It's life threatening. It's life losing. Buy the truth. Are you interested in the truth? No, most people are interested in fellowship. Most people are interested in friends. Most people are interested in entertainment. And that's why churches go to much trouble to entertain people. Because people aren't looking for the truth. He said, buy the truth. Pay whatever price you got to pay. If it means you got to read your Bible at night, if it means that you've got to study something here, if it means that you got to go to school somewhere, whatever you need to do to get truth, get it. Truth is valuable.
Amen.
One of the most valuable things we can possibly ever attain is to know the truth.
Amen.
Now, some of us know the truth and don't want to follow it, but we still need to know the truth. How can you know? Well, he said, buy the truth, and then he said, sell it not.
Amen.
A lot of people sell the truth. They've got the truth.
Yep.
They sell it.
Yeah,
they sell it for friendship. They sell it for getting along in the family.
That's right.
They sell it for getting a girlfriend or a boyfriend. They sell the truth day in and day out, and they go the rest of their life miserable because they gave up the one thing they needed.
That's right.
The truth.
That's right.
Don't sell it.
Amen.
If it cost you, no matter what it cost you, please don't be so foolish as to give up the truth for anything temporal in this life.
Amen.
So that's one of my verses that I just love. I've lived by it for an awful long time. I think it's tremendous. Buy the truth and sell it not.
Amen.
And by the way, he's also talking about wisdom and instruction and understanding. Are those things valuable? I think they are. Look at Psalm 119, verse 128. Here's another one of the verses that helped me. I have this written down on a 3x5 card, and it sits on my computer all the time, every day. Psalm 119, verse 128. Therefore, I esteem thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way.
Amen.
You want to know what my personal philosophy is? This is it. God's right.
Amen.
Whatever he says.
That's right.
About whatever subject. If he says something that connects with science, it's right.
Amen.
I don't care what Dr. Doodledigger has to say at Potunk University. I don't care how much it's unreasonable to you. He said, I esteem, David is saying this, I think, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things. How much clearer can you get than that? What is the truth, whatever God says? The way God's precepts are put out concerning all things, it's right. Thank God for that right there.
Amen.
That's the faith of a Bible believer.
That's right.
That's the faith you as a born-again Christian ought to have.
Amen. That's right.
Now what ought that to make you? It ought to make you a Bible student.
That's right.
I learned a lot of things when I started reading the Bible.
Yes.
I was taught a lot of things. I heard a lot of things. I listened to a lot of preachers. I read a bunch of books. And then I got saved, and I got saved reading the Bible, and I began to read the Bible in I think I read the New Testament 15 times the first year I was saved, and the Old Testament 3. And every time I read it, I found something else. Well, I already know it. I've read it 15 times. Read it again.
Yes, right.
I remember it was a verse that just bothered me, a verse in the gospel. It just bothered me, something Jesus said, and I couldn't get it in my head straight. And I would look at that, and I'd read commentators and whatever, and nobody helped me. Okay, it's right. I'll find out what it means someday. Sure enough, I'm reading along one day, and it just stuck out like a light. How could I miss that? How did I miss that? I've read that over and over and over again. I've looked at it. I've worried over it. I've lost sleep on it. How did I miss that? And it just stood out from the Bible, and it was just so clear and so plain and so beautiful. Isn't it amazing? But in order to get truth like that, you got to keep reading the Bible. You got to want the truth. Most of you do not want the truth enough to even read the papers I put on that wall out there. Shame on you. Shame on you. You're just going to trust me? That's a dangerous thing to do. I'm just going to trust my preacher. My preacher would never tell me something wrong. There are a lot of preachers telling people a lot of things wrong. I want you to check me out. When I teach a doctrine or preach a message, and I take a scripture and I explain that scripture and I apply that scripture, I want you to check me out.
Amen.
And bless your heart, if you think you got a better answer to it, come talk to me. I'll talk to you. I've proved I want truth because I have changed what I preach, and I've changed the way I act because of the Word of God.
Amen.
And by the way, that cost me a lot of money, and that cost me a lot of places to preach, and that cost me some friends.
Yep.
I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. I've said this before, but I want to say it again. Maybe some of you haven't heard it, or, you know, as a teacher, I learned you got to repeat things 30 times for a kid to get it. And I think the church is that bad or worse. Now I don't know what I was going to tell you. Well, let's just go on. He said here, thy precepts concerning all things are right. I don't need much faith to believe in God. Now, I know people accuse Christians or Bible believers or people who have a religion or believe in God that they just live by faith. Actually, I look at you and I say, God. I look at the stars and I say, God. And I hear about how much space there is out there. And that the biggest telescopes we've ever been able to produce only produce more stars. And they only simply stretch the universe out there bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then I look into a drop of water like they got me in science class when I was a kid. And I looked at all those animals in that drop of one drop of water. And they tell me about atoms and stuff like that and all these little things so small we can't see them and they're whirling around and they got more space than the earth in comparison to what they got in them. That doesn't make me think evolution. You got to understand, evolution is a faith. It is not a fact. It is a faith that is proposed on the people of the world because they don't like the knowledge of God. They do not want a God that's going to judge, but He's going to judge.
Amen.
He is God, He is all powerful, and I'm telling you, He's pretty smart. I know some people, they think the greatest thing they've ever seen is the human brain. Not me. Everything I look at, including the human brain, says God, a great creator, a great mind with all types of power, and for His own purposes, He put all this in motion. I don't need much faith to believe in God. I think it's proven. Like I've thought about it so many times, believing in evolution is like believing that the Encyclopedia Britannica came from an explosion in a print factory. Never happened. It's got purpose, direction, wisdom, intelligence.
That's right.
You can use it. It's useful.
Yes.
Somebody built this pulpit. It's a useful pulpit.
Yes.
You see, it'll stand up to me hitting it.
Yes.
I can wreck around on it like that, and he better have built it strong enough. It's useful. What does it tell you? Intelligence designed it. Skill built it. And it does its job. The whole world does that. All the different animals, we haven't cataloged all the animals yet.
That's right.
All the scientists that write all the books, they haven't cataloged all the animals yet. We don't even know how many more are out there that we don't know about.
That's right.
Get it down to viruses and other stuff like this. I had a doctor tell me, if they tell you it's a virus, it means they don't know what it is. When they don't know what's wrong with you, well, it's a virus. You can't see viruses. Viruses are awful hard to find. God made a bunch of them. He knows what every one of them's for. That doesn't take much faith. All I do is look out here and see all of these things, and they testify to me there is a super smart intelligence that has all types of power out there that's working all these things.
Yeah, that's right.
And I believe in God.
Yeah. Amen.
If I went to the devil tomorrow, I don't think I'd quit believing in God.
Yeah.
It just makes too much sense.
Yeah.
Now, that's the first four words of the book, in the beginning God. And by the way, if you can believe that, those four words,
right,
you can believe every miracle in the Bible.
That's right.
I made a decision in another way. And if you'll look with me in John 17:17, you'll see where I'm coming from. This takes faith. Maybe a lot of faith. I don't know. Jesus is praying to the Father. This is actually the Lord's Prayer. The prayer he prayed to the Father. What you will call, normally call the Lord's Prayer is Jesus' instruction to his disciples on how to pray. It wasn't something he was praying. He was teaching the disciples how to pray. But right here, he's praying. John 17 is the Lord's Prayer, where he's praying. And he said, sanctify them, talking about his believers and us. Sanctify them, that means set them apart, make them different. Make them holy. Make a sanctified think out of them, make a saint out of them.
Right.
Through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's a statement of faith. Some people can't handle it. Some people can't believe it. I do believe it. And because I believe that thing right there, I believe God is right in everything he says, and his word is truth, I can make some other decisions. Decisions the world would think, I don't know how you can make that kind of a decision. Oh, but I can. Because thy word is truth.
Amen.
Thy word is truth. Do I understand all of this book? No, no, no. I would not want to teach you Ezekiel verse by verse. No, no, no. I'd run you all off before a month's time. I don't even understand it well enough. I wouldn't even have tried Isaiah, brother. That's a tough work, man. Appreciate it. Thank you. There's a whole lot in this book I don't understand. You know, I've given my life to taking things that are difficult, explaining them in the simplest language I can possibly make, and then trying to apply them. That's the total of my preaching.
That's right.
Understand the scripture myself, explain the scripture, then apply the scripture.
Yes.
And sometimes I get a scripture that I'm not going to preach.
Yeah.
You know why? Mean or Dr. Doodle Digger never found the answer.
That's right.
Trinidad made a statement, you know. I've got a bunch of books. I've given away three libraries in my time of leaving and going to Mexico and going to other places and whatever. But I still have a house full of books. And I've got a lot of religious books. I got some great commentaries. I got some of the best commentaries in the world. And you know, when I get one of those verses that's really hard for me, and I look it up, Matthew Henry skips it. John Trapp, he skips it. They don't know either. Nobody out there knows everything about this book, and so some things people can get real confused in. But it's the truth. Even if I don't understand it, it's still the truth. And every once in a while, as I go along, I understand a little more. I come across the verses. I come across something else. I come across something that fits, and it dovetails, and it explains, and it defines. And I say, wow, I never saw that before. I've been doing this 54 years. And I can say I never saw that before. I know I've read it. I could probably quote part of it. But I never saw that before. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You can ask my wife. She sometimes quotes it to me. She'd say, "What does the Bible say?" Amen. And that's what I've been doing for 54 years. Amen. In my own way, I've studied the Bible for 54 years because I want to know what the Bible says, because he tells me right here, "Thy word is truth." Amen. So now my reasoning from that is, if I then know and rightly divide the Bible, I'll have truth. You follow me? I want truth. I want it more than I want anything else. I want to preach truth. I don't ever want to preach error. Sometimes, like I said, I don't preach on some things because I'm not sure. But I believe this Bible is the Word of the Living God. I believe it's proved it to me over and over and over again. Amen. I do love it. Amen. And I spent a lot of time in it looking for the truth, because I believe thy Word is truth. When you come to the place that you say, okay, now then, in what I said before the preaching about our stand on the King James Version of the Bible, it's the Bible to me. I don't care what Strong's Concordance says. I don't care what the local professor says. I don't care what your high school teacher says. I don't care what the preacher down the block says. This is God's Word to me. I'm going to the judgment seat of Christ with this book right here. I'm not going to change it. I'm not going to give it up. I'm not going to quit reading it. And by the way, a blind old man, about half deaf, I've got it on my television. It turns the pages for me. I can read it with my eyes, and it reads it to me. Hey, I'll be able to do this when I'm deaf and dumb and get the comfort of the Word of God. God's Word is a comfort. Now, what if somebody comes along and they begin to badmouth my Bible? Well, then I remember Proverbs 23:23, "Buy the truth and sell it not." Amen. I don't care what you think about it. You do not have to be pleased with me. You do not have to be pleased with anything I preach. In fact, there are a lot of people that aren't pleased with me. And a lot of people aren't pleased with what I preach. That is no new thing. I'm sure I make somebody mad every time I get up to preach. I offend somebody. I really don't purposely offend most of the time. Every once in a while, I'll hit you. Just because I want to. Just because of the meanness in my body. But most of the time, I have no desire to offend. I have a desire to present the truth in such a way as you get it. And then persuade you in such a way that you do it. Well, I have to be confident that what I have is the truth. Well, Brother Trinidad, he was knocking a bunch of my verses. I'll have to change a few of them. Or maybe there's somebody here that needs them. Getting them twice. John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Can I make a statement from that? No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, I know some of you people think everybody's going to heaven, nobody's going to hell, and all roads lead to heaven, don't they? No, they don't. In fact, Jesus said the few are going to be the ones that find it. Many, some of you are in the many today. I hope most of you are in the few. The few that find it, and the simple way is there's one way, and that's Jesus Christ. You don't get to talk to God except through Jesus Christ. You don't get accepted by God except through Jesus Christ. You can't be saved except by Jesus Christ. God made a way through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that you could approach Him. Jesus died, a perfect man for sinful man. When he finished that work and took that blood up into the tabernacle in heaven and spread it across the tabernacle there, the door was opened. Did you notice the big veil in the temple was ripped? It ripped from the top to the bottom. God went down and said,
"That's right."
What did he say? It's open.
That's right. Amen.
The door is open. Jesus says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I am the door." There aren't two doors.
That's right.
You know what? I can be confident that's the truth. Because that's what this book says.
Amen.
And I studied long enough to know that's what this book says. Then in Acts 4:12 said, "Neither is there salvation any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Well, what about Mohammed? What about all the Mohammedans? What about all the Buddhists? What about all the Shinto? How about the great American Indian? You say, "Well, it's not fair." Well, let me tell you what, life is not fair.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things I can't explain and don't know. What I do know, there's one name.
That's right.
Just one name.
Yeah.
By the way, that would cut Mary's name out, wouldn't it?
Yeah, right.
That would cut the saints' names out, wouldn't it?
That's right.
I'd cut your mother's name. I know you loved your mother. You think she's the sweetest thing there ever was. And she probably was to you. I hope you had a good mother. I had a very good mother. She whipped the daylights out of me when her black eyes started flashing. She didn't wait for Daddy to come home. She beat the daylights out of me, and then when Daddy got home, he did too. They did have a little bit of my respect. As mean as I was, I did respect both of them and love them. "Neither is there salvation in any other." That is so exclusive that it is offensive. I don't have to be offensive. Just reading that verse offends most of the world. You can go around dressed like a Hindu, nobody say anything about it. Go around dressed like a Muslim, they won't say a thing about it. You can carry your Muslim Quran, they won't say a thing about it. Pick up a Bible or pray in the name of Jesus Christ and you'll have protests. And yet most of this country still is Christian. Look in your phone book. How many tabernacles or other things from other churches, and then how many Christian churches are in this town?
That's right.
And all across America.
Amen.
We're basically Christian, and that world hates Christ. Don't forget, the world does not love your Jesus.
Right.
Not even on a day like today. Not even at Christmas time. Oh, they like a little baby Jesus.
Yeah.
They can put in a manger.
Yep.
And have some holy men coming in to see him. But they don't love your Jesus.
That's right.
Your Jesus is a judge.
That's right.
Your Jesus is righteous.
That's right.
Your Jesus died as a grown man. And the symbol of Christianity shouldn't even be the cross, especially not the cross with a Jesus on it.
That's right.
Ought to be an empty tomb.
That's right.
That's just my opinion. I've been saved. I've been set free. Jesus Christ rose from the grave. He is not dead anymore. And one of the problems those early apostles got was they said he's alive.
Yes.
They preached the resurrection from the dead. He's alive. You know that's offensive. These things are offensive. People don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear about hell and all those bodies. No. The Bible says in Romans, the reason why they don't believe in God is they did not like to retain the image of God in their hearts, in their minds. If there is a God that created it, if there is a God that set out these laws, Ten Commandments and whatever, there's a judgment day coming.
That's right.
And God is so smart, it's not like looking at a big anthill. I look at an anthill and I go around and say, "Tough day."
Yeah,
This is not your day. God doesn't do that. God looks out and He does His best to get you the gospel. He does His best for you to repent of your sins. He does His best to get some intelligence in your hand.
That's right.
Some wisdom. Buy the truth and sell it not. And wisdom.
That's right.
And understanding.
That's right.
None of the name. My friend, I don't even pray in His name. I pray in Jesus' name.
That's right, amen.
Did you know His name is not God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost?
That's right.
You know what the name of God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost is? Study your Bible.
Amen.
It's Jesus.
That's right.
I can prove that to you over and over again. Every scripture that deals with it shows it's Jesus.
That's right.
That's the name.
That's right.
That's the name above every other name. It's Jesus. That's why the world hates it. Satan is not angry at all these other religions. They serve him.
That's right.
He's angry at Christianity.
That's right.
He's angry at Christ and His people. None of the name.
That's right.
Look at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Oh man, I've gone way too long. Well, we'll sum it up right here. That way, Trinidad didn't step on too many of my verses. Hebrews 8:1. Now the things which you have spoken, this is the sum. You know what the sum is? It's the total. You know what the sum is? That's the answer. Well, let's look at what the sum is. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest. Who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. You need a priest to go in the presence of God.
Amen.
No human priest will do.
Yes.
All the human priests and all the human preachers that pray over your soul, that bless you, that give you advice, that help you, they can't forgive one sin.
That's right.
They cannot absolve a single act.
Amen.
They cannot even help you with your thoughts. Because there's only one priest that can enter into this tabernacle. We don't ever need another priest because this one's not going to die.
Yeah, amen.
The high priest of the Jewish nation, they had a new one every so often, sort of like the popes. They don't elect them till they're old men. They don't have long to live. A few of them that are very hardy may make 20, 25 years. Man, look back through history, 5, 10, 12 years. They die. He may be the best priest you've ever known. You may have great confidence in him, but he's going to die.
That's right.
We finally got a priest, the Bible says, that's never going to die.
That's right.
He's alive.
Amen.
And he lives to intercede. He's alive. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
We have a high priest. This is the sum of everything we've been teaching, of everything the Bible is coming to, of all of the Old Testament sacrifices, of all the Old Testament priesthood. This is the sum. Jesus.
Amen.
He is our priest.
Amen.
He's our Savior. He's our substitute. He's our sacrifice. And He's our priest who offers that sacrifice.
Yes.
This is the Son. It's Jesus.
Praise
Jesus, the great high priest, is Jesus the Savior.
Amen.
I'll give you one more verse. Just because I want to. 2 Corinthians 6:2. I don't know whether you ever read it or not. I don't know whether you can find it in your Bible or not, but it's a pretty good verse. And it suits this morning.
Yes, it does.
2 Corinthians 6:2. You ought to underline this in your Bible. You ought to scratch something around the side of it. Put a star in the corner. Dog ear the page.
Amen.
Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, Now is the day of salvation. I've had a lot of people, I've talked to a lot of people in 54 years about their soul, their eternal soul. I've got almost every answer you can possibly get, I know. I don't have all the answers for all the people's problems. But I know this, you don't have but today. You can't live in tomorrow. I don't care what somebody says, I'll always be around for you. I'll never let you down. They can walk out. My brother-in-law came home, ate supper, sat down, watched television, the news television. He was dead. My sister walked in there, 50 years old. He was dead. He didn't plan on dying at 50. He was a professional baseball player, one of the greatest athletes I ever met in my life. He died at 50. How long are you going to live? I see on the news every day where some little boy or little girl dies. Teenagers? Oh, man, you don't stand a chance. If God lets you get to be 25, you're a miracle. Because you're idiots. You think you're 10 foot tall and bulletproof. And you're not. Right now. Right now. Not tonight. This is a personal experience. I have a friend who was witnessing to an 18-year-old. Talked to him for 30 minutes to an hour, long as the kid would let him. And the kid told him, no, 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 I don't want to take Jesus. I want to sow my wild oats. I got a lot of years of sowing wild oats left. He rode out that night on his motorcycle, got hit by an 18-wheeler and died. You haven't got tomorrow. You haven't got tonight. I don't have tonight. I have plans for tonight, but I don't have tonight. You don't have tomorrow. If the Holy Spirit of God has touched your heart and says, that's what you need. That's what he did to me. I heard the word, I saw the preacher, I listened to the influence and the persuasion, but no, my friend, down inside of me, something said to me, that's what you need.
That's right.
And I said, yes, Lord. Why don't you say yes, Lord?
Amen.
Right now. Why don't you repent of your sin? Why don't you acknowledge God as who he is? You're going to one day. The Bible says every knee, that's yours. And that's both knees. That's not one knee down, that's both knees. Every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You're going to do it one day, why not today? Today, right here and now, in this meeting, before this meeting is over, why don't you say, God forgive me, I've not listened to you for so long and I've lived in sin, I'm lost, I'm on the road to hell, forgive me and save my soul. Why don't you do that? And Christian friend, if God's spoken to your heart in any way, don't make God wait. Talk about an insult. You don't want to insult God. I read a thing written by Jay Leno. And I know you know who he is, and I don't know that he's a Christian. I don't know anything like that at all. What his background is. But he said, with all the earthquakes and tsunamis and tornadoes and floods, isn't it a bad time to take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance? That makes sense, doesn't it? It's a bad time to take God out of your life. Don't reject him. Don't resist him. And Christian, if God wants you to get something right, get it right. If God says jump, say how far? If God said, come to me, say yes, not when, not tomorrow, not tonight, not next month, not I need a few more years, now. You don't own any time but now. All the past is past, cannot be changed. You have no future. You've got now. That's why the Bible says now is accepted. Christian friend, get your heart right with God. You need to repent, humble yourself and repent. My dear lost friend, humble yourself, repent, and call on Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can save you. He's the only priest. He's the only mediator. He's the only lawyer that can plead your case. Let's stand and sing number 249.